At the top of our program, many in Michigan's charter school community are crying foul over a recent report. That report criticizes the state's charter school authorizers. Authorizers of charter schools are educational institutions, often colleges, whose responsibility is to ensure oversight, accountability, and adequate performance. Last week, a study from the National Association of Charter School Authorizers, NACSA, rated Michigan among the worst in the country regarding policies that hold authorizers accountable for academic performance. Of a possible 27 points, the state earned just 3. Our next guest represents 10 Michigan authorizers. Those authorizers, in turn, oversee operations at about 90% of Michigan's charter schools. Jared Burkhardt is executive director of the Michigan Coalition of Charter School Authorizers, and he takes issue with the report. Mr. Burkhardt, welcome back to Current State.
Hey, thanks for having me today.
For starters, remind our listeners what the authorizer's role is regarding charter schools. What are authorizers' key responsibilities?
Well, authorizers are in charge of handing out a charter contract to schools. Every charter school in the state of Michigan has a charter contract, and that has specific academic goals and fiscal performance requirements they have to reach. Authorizers are in charge of making sure that those contracts are fulfilled, and charter schools are doing the job that they're supposed to be doing, educating the kids of the state of Michigan.
Now, Michigan authorizers came out looking pretty bad in this report, only 3 points out of 27 possible. How are your members responding to this?
Well, I think that this is where there needs to be a little more education of what this report actually is. This report had nothing to do with the practices in the state of Michigan and only the laws in the state of Michigan. And if you look at it really boils down to what does the law have in it? What specific pieces does it have? If you look at performance situations, and if you were taking that and thinking it was a performance situation, it doesn't bear that out through the other states that were in this report as well. The best state that did well in this report was the state of Washington. They have one charter school in the state of Washington, and that opened this year. They have no performance data at all to look at, but they did well because they just wrote a law with NACSA, and it basically checked off all of the boxes in this report.
Mm. How do you respond to people, though, who read this and say stricter authorizer standards should be a part of state law?
I think that you have to look at practice. Right now, a lot of the things that are in this report, like specifically handing out performance reports to your schools, every single one of my authorizers do that right now in practice. It's not a part of state law, but it's a part of what they do as a state. Those same people are saying, let's look at other states for what their practices are. And Massachusetts is a great example of where the state of Michigan wants to be for some of these groups. The state of Massachusetts only receives 6 points. Why is that? Is because that state and the state of Michigan, the same way, don't have to go back into their law year after year and change it because the practices of their authorizers are very good. Just some of the highest in the state, or of all 50 states.
Wouldn't it be better, though, if these high standards were not were actually made a part of law, so as to ensure that these standards are really take hold?
I think that you have to really look at what the practices are again. The worst thing that you can do for anyone is to keep changing the system over and over again. And if in 3 years NACSA decides that they want to put in an extra box or take a box out, then we have to change law. Laws aren't something that we should be easily changed. It should be a set of requirements for everyone. If you look at NACSA's report as well on the essential practices that are happening in all of our authorizing practices, many of our authorizers in the state of Michigan get 100%. Every single one of my authorizers get either 100% or 90% on the essential practices, the things that they are doing in the schools in the state of Michigan.
And remind our listeners who some of your authorizers are that are members of your group, the bigger authorizers.
Sure. And we have 8 university authorizers. Central Michigan, Grand Valley are some examples of those. Bay Mills Community College is a community college we have in Detroit Public Schools. Their charter school office is a part of our group as well.
Jared Burkhardt is our guest. Jared is executive director of the Michigan Coalition of Charter School Authorizers, a Democratic-sponsored measure to tighten up Michigan charter school accountability was put out on the table back in October. It failed to gain traction. I want to ask you about some parts of that measure and how you and your members feel about these. Senator Hoon Young Hopgood's measure proposed that authorizers be banned from opening new schools when the schools they're already running are poorly performing schools. Sounds like a common sense recommendation. What do you think?
Well, I think that you have to look at what that standard is. And there's really, it's very vague right now. I would like to see that tightened up to what that really is. If you look at our closure rate in the state of Michigan, though, our closure rate is one of the best in the nation. We're over 20% for closures. So we're already performing. We're talking about practices. We're already performing very high in the country as far as the closure rate of poor performing schools in the United States.
You're talking about closure rate. Just explain what that is.
So the rate of the amount of schools that we actually close that are poor performing. About 20% of the schools that we've opened, if we've closed because of poor performance. That rate is not. That rate is one of the highest in the nation. And when you get to this, it's really about being able to have parents make a choice. And if those parents are making the choice for those schools, they are seeing something quality about that education, that educational option. No charter school parent, no charter school student is forced into a school because of their zip code. They make an active choice to say, this is the educational option I want for my student.
One of the more confusing parts of this larger story is the fact that other reports give Michigan much higher marks regarding charter schools. In October, the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools rated Michigan third in the country. What did that measure?
The National Alliance really measured the health of the sector, and that's what they called it, the health of the sector report. So things like how well are your schools doing? What is your closure rate? How much school choice you have in the state. That actually is starting to talk about practices and looking at what the sector actually is doing. It's not a checklist of saying, does your law have this specific purpose in it, these specific words. It's not that. It's what is actually going on within the state.
There is a Republican proposal on the table during the lame duck legislative session at the Capitol that would make some changes. Let me ask you about a couple of those. An A through F grading system for all state schools.
Sure. And again, that's going back to the parental choice. I think that really gives parents more information. It's a better way of accessing it. People understand what an A through F letter grading system looks like. Colors, not really sure. I mean, you're a really informed person, Mark. Can you tell me what purple means right now? I don't know. It's really hard to tell, but I guarantee you that all your listeners can conceptually get what a C means. So that's why we really support that kind of a letter grading system.
Jared Burkhart's our guest, executive director of the Michigan Coalition of Charter School Authorizers. The Republican measure on the table at the Capitol would also ban charter schools from shopping for authorizers. This is when one authorizer drops a school for poor performance or some other reason, and then the school quickly tries to line up another. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's a phenomenon we've really only seen over the last maybe year. And we're taking a leadership position on that and saying that this isn't an acceptable practice. That's one of those things that should not be happening, and we are not allowing it within the council, but there are other authorizers that might be picking up those schools. So we are supportive of that measure as well.
You have pointed out some confusion regarding which states are doing well and which ones aren't. You said Massachusetts is often pointed out as a state that executes charter schooling well, yet Massachusetts was one of the states that also ranked low in the NACSA report. Can you help us understand why that is?
Well, again, I believe it's because they looked at a checklist. They looked at a list and said, well, this is one thing we think should be in your law. They never looked at what the practice really is. And I have a big problem with that because they are looking at just one portion of what the law is, and their questions aren't about what is best for the parents and kids. It's what's in the law. If we start to look at every state as just a little bit different, and the educational practices in every state are just a little bit different, and the question really needs to be, how can we help parents and students get the best educational options in the state of Michigan or any other state?
In Sunday's Detroit Free Press, editorial page editor Steve Henderson wrote that for too many people, the idea of charter schools is caught up in the ideology of free markets and anti-regulation rather than educational results. Is the debate over the value of charter schools too driven by ideology and not enough by results?
I think it's too driven by ideology, really, because you've got the ideology of free market practice, but you've also got the ideology of we need to be stuck in this one way of one type of schooling that is driven by many of the traditional groups of you have to have kids in 20 kids in a classroom facing forward in seats. The future of schooling, the future of education is about getting up and interacting. It's about online experiences. It's about understanding that every kid is a little bit different, so they may have a little bit different needs. You can't set everyone down in the same classroom and say, you have one way to learn. Everybody's an individual. And I think that's why when we're looking at what's best for parents and students, that needs to be the question every time.
Most everybody seems to acknowledge that there are charter schools that are performing quite well, but the ongoing implication seems to be that there simply aren't enough of them and that more need to adhere to stricter standards. How much truth is there to that?
Well, I think we always need better quality options for parents and students. That's going to be the case no matter how many options you have out there. You need more quality options. But again, going back to the ideology portion of this, they always say there are bad charter schools, but those opponents never also look themselves in the face and say there are bad traditional schools as well. And we're only talking about 10% of the student population in the state of Michigan. You know what? Charter schools are going to be the first ones to stand up and say, you know what, we need to do better. And I'm going to say that right now as a charter school advocate, but also we have traditional schools that need to do better. And we can't sit here with an ideology of traditional schools versus charter schools. It needs to be about what's best for these parents and students.
You're working on an accreditation initiative here to that effect as well. Tell us about that.
Yes, and it's a great thing that would move Michigan forward, not just in charter schools, but all education in the state of Michigan. We're saying that you can have an accreditation system that doesn't need to be in state law. It's policing ourselves as a sector. And we're going to say that there are some very important things that we need to adhere to. We're working with Advanced Ed, who is an outside third-party consulting firm that does accreditation. They already do accreditation for ISDs in the state, and we're looking at them, and we're working together to create standards. We've already come up with some to say this is the level of authorized in the state of Michigan.
But Jared, how vigorously would you resist an effort to put some of these standards into state law?
If that's what we need to do, we're not going to resist that. But again, I don't think that state law and government oversight every time is the best option. Sometimes you have to look and say, these guys are doing a good job. We need to let them be better at their job.
We have just a few seconds left. I have to ask you one more question. Back in August, Superintendent Flanagan released a list of 11 charter school authorizers he said need to improve oversight of their schools. He said he'd remove their authority to authorize more schools until the oversight of their existing schools improved. What's your understanding of where that stands right now?
We're still talking, actually. And, you know, to Superintendent Flanagan's credit, he is one of the people in the state of Michigan that didn't just jump off and make a real quick decision on suspension. You know, we're still talking. I presented our accreditation system to the MDE just a few weeks ago. So we're trying to come up with a system that works for everyone in the state of Michigan.
We've been talking about a report from NACSA, the National Association of Charter School Authorizers. We've been getting the response of Jared Burkhardt, Executive Director of the Michigan Coalition of Charter School Authorizers. Thanks, Jared.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.